to the 80-20 Endurance Podcast. Today, we're joined by Jared Irvin, one of our Coaches of Color apprentices, an inspiring runner, coach, and community advocate. From his non-running beginnings influenced by baseball and a significant injury, Jared's journey took a transformative turn, leading him to embrace trail running, marathons, and a deep commitment to fostering diversity within the running community. Enjoy!
Jared Irvin, welcome to 80-20 Endurance, a podcast that's 80% mellow and 20% laid back.
Well, thank you. Yeah, I'm excited to be on.
The most mellow and laid back response to that intro.
That's me.
Well, you know, I always tailor the intro to the guest, and you're a multifaceted and complex individual, but you are 80% mellow and 20% laid back.
Yeah, I guess it just works out that way.
Well, we always kick it off by Matt usually invites the guests, and you always give a connection on how you know them. This is number two. The last guest we had on, Ryan, I also knew. So, Jared, you and I know each other pretty well. I know you know Matt even better. But, Matt, why don't you give the nice intro about how we both know Jared?
Yeah, I will. I'll let Jared do it. He's the guest. Jared, how do we all know each other?
Yeah, it's great. So I think you're wearing the sweatshirt now. Yeah, there it is. So Coaches of Color Initiative. So it was this awesome program I had the pleasure of being a part of. Just graduated. So it was a year-long apprenticeship for coaching. So I got my 80-20 endurance certification. So in coaching, and just learned a wealth of information from a ton of different awesome different coaches on the board and all around. So it's a great program.
Awesome. Yeah. So you were our, what, third apprentice in the program?
I was second. Yeah. Numero dos.
And we're up to four.
Yep.
Crushing it.
Yeah. Well, you got to benefit from the learning that we did with Jessica, apprentice number one. It continues to evolve. And so, but let's rewind. You know, how did you come to running in the first place? I know your origin story. It's like a meet cute story for you falling in love with running. So let's have it.
Yeah, definitely. Wasn't a runner. Still, it's weird calling myself a runner still. So still grappling with that, but didn't run high school. Actually hated it in high school. Like, only running I did was conditioning for baseball. And that was primarily my like main sport and love. Wasn't going anywhere with that. Like, I kind of realized that at an early age. So it was just kind of going with it for fun. So going to college, still not really running. Tear my ACL, playing basketball, just like a pickup game. And kind of like go through like a dark space with like not being able to move. And it's tough. Like, I was going to school out in Duquesne in Pittsburgh at the time. And that's a tough place not to be mobile. The school is called the Bluff, so it's just got hills, so you have to like crutch up hills, and I tore it in December, so I was going like ice and everything, so that built some character. But worked my way out of that PT, and just coming back was tough. Just wanted to kind of like prove to myself, and at the time I was dating my now fiance Erica, who has done a couple half marathons before, and it's just been like crushing it with running. And like, I was just like always amazed by like, you can run 13 miles. Like, what? Like, I said, like, I'd never do like more than a 5K at the time. And yeah, so signed up for the Pittsburgh half marathon. It's probably like a year out after I tore my ACL. So like, that was just like a big thing for me to put in the training and accomplish something that, you know, just terrified me. So that was really awesome. And got through the finish line. It was like 2:02, which was, I think that's respectable for a first one. Not having like a running background at all. And like, I loved it. It was terrible weather, rainy, and like just persevering. That's like what kept me at it. And just kind of like went one thing after another, just snowballed. And it was after college, I was working it was an interesting program. It was kind of like an AmeriCorps program, but it was through the Episcopal Service Corps. And their whole thing is to build community and intentional community by placing you at like a social service program or like a nonprofit within a certain city. And I got the pleasure of being selected for a city. I grew up near Baltimore City. So I worked at a transitional housing shelter with Ryan White clients. So those are people facing HIV, AIDS, and also veterans. So it was mostly like Vietnam veterans, and they all had something going on, like mental health issues or drug abuse issues. So my whole job was to help find them housing and really whatever they needed. So like appointments, if they needed transportation, just like really like the bare minimum to get an ID. So it was a lot of things and just help them find like addiction programs and getting them there. So it was a heavy year. And that's when running just kind of exploded because just put all my like mental health and everything into that. So signed up for a marathon. It was the Rock and Roll DC Marathon and ran that with Erica. So we ran our first marathon together, beat her by a second. It was awesome. Ran the entire time. So
we run the whole thing. I have to interject.
We ran it. Run the
together and then you're like, race to the
race is on.
That's awesome.
Yeah, so
an argument after that?
No, it was all good. It was just because I mean, I feel like I was feeling a little better towards the end, so I was like waiting at the top of the hills. So I don't know.
Yeah, a little better. One's
but she's a better runner than me, like no doubt. That's how I got into it. Then moved to Arizona, just needed to get away, something new. And I always like joked about moving to Arizona, which is funny. Like we'd always get terrible snowstorms. I was like, you know, I'm gonna just move to Arizona, and it just happened. So here I am, living in Phoenix, Arizona. I've been here for 8 years, and it's the mountains and the scenery that brought me here. Being in Boy Scouts growing up, I got to go to like Yosemite and hike the Appalachian Trails a ton. I always had the drawing towards the mountains. Phoenix is just like kind of city built around the mountains, so like I was always really fascinated by it as a kid, and made that a reality. It's been so awesome. Just fell into love with like trail running and just trying to put all the miles like I can get just being out in nature. So that's how I've gotten to running. Because like all this just like happening, like I don't think about it. It's just like, you know, I just want to do this and do that. Like it's just very like next thing, and I don't really like sit back and like reflect. It's like, oh, I've done all that and I'm a runner. Mm-hmm. But I guess I am.
Tell us about Black Men Run.
Yeah, Black Men Run, another organization that really helped me and kind of like made my running flourish, Black Men Run. But it's a national program, but there are chapters throughout each city, and there's like 30 something chapters. We got a few international chapters as well. But Black Men Run Phoenix is just a great group of guys that the mission is just to have a healthy brotherhood. And that looks different in several ways. So mentally, physically, emotionally, like you're just there for each other and no man left behind. And that looks like a different way. So it's really just trying to get some representation in running and have a space for Black men. And we accept everybody. Everybody can come run with us. And it's just, this is for us, but we allow all in. Good members. Like we have people up in their 60s crushing marathons. Like it's so cool.
Is that something that you started or did you join early on?
No, I joined in. It was the second year. So I just had our 10-year anniversary. So he's been around for a good while, a bit more.
For the benefit of our white listeners, can you explain why it's so important to have organizations like that? You know, so for someone like me, you know, I started running in the early mid 80s. I am white. And I just felt like I belonged. Like the idea of not feeling like there was a place for me in running just never came up. But it's not that way for everyone, is it?
No, I mean, that's one reason why you're a runner. Like I didn't really see many runners that looked like me. My school, all the high school countries were like white skinny kids. I mean, I was skinny, like I had that checked out, but nothing else. and just like seeing like all the people crushing it, like they're all like Africans, but you don't really see like African Americans, like the person coming from the hood. You don't see those people running. Like, and it's tough. Like there's just not the space. Access is a big thing. I hate the saying that all you need is a pair of shoes. Like you need a safe place to run. Living in Boulder City, you can't like run across traffic and like it's scary, especially like for females too. I mean, space is a big thing. Just having this place where you could talk to others that look like you and go through the same struggles as you. Because when Ahmaud Arbery was killed, that was tough for us. But we had each other to kind of talk about that. And that was the importance of that. Just kind of like talk about our fears of where can we run? Where can't we run? Like I had a trip out in Blue Ridge, Georgia for my friend's bachelor party. And it's out in the middle of nowhere. Like you go into the convenience store, you got like Confederate flags everywhere. And I probably saw like one black person there while I was there for a week, and I only went on one run, and like it was awesome running, but like I was just terrified. I didn't want to. I saw Confederate flags. I was like, you don't know, like some guy's gonna come out, chase me with a shotgun. Like you just don't know. So that's the thing that Black Men Run exists. Talk about those fears. People understand, and that's why it exists. And just have that brotherhood. Just have somebody that like hear you. Like that's what it really is. Just somebody hear you, listen to you, and understand you.
It's a really good point. I feel like the saying, all you need is a pair of shoes. I've never thought about it that way, but you're right. Like you can have a pair of shoes and be in a very unsafe space. Can you talk a little bit about why you applied for Coaches of Color and what importance you think, similar to Black Men Run, where does that stand on your array of things that you're involved in?
I really just want to get more representation into the sport, because like with diversity comes diversity ideas, and you start seeing changes being made to like aid stations. So like aid stations have more feminine products, and race policies start changing to accept more non-binary awards. So that's like what I want to do. So I feel like I've had a lot of good coaches. Like I've been very fortunate, and coaches that have helped me develop emotionally and just throughout life too. I had a great conversation with a person that got me into coaching through Taylor Train, Becky. And she asked me, you've been a sponge all this time. You're learning just not throughout like the last period, but throughout life as well. Like, what are you going to do with that? And I was like, you know, I want to start giving information out. And I feel like I have things to share, and like I've been through things, and I may have techniques that may help somebody get through something, or I don't know. Like, I feel like my story might be able to help somebody, and I just want to be able to share that. And I saw that Coaches in Color could give me that platform, so that's why I applied.
And then you mentioned that you've been fortunate to have a number of good coaches. One in particular, Susan Logan, mm-hmm. I know had a key role as kind of a mentor to you. Well, you brought her over to Dream Run Camp, and I'm like, we were both like, I know you. I mean, I knew who she was, but I feel like we both felt like our paths have crossed mm-hmm. before. And then, so I went to my computer afterward and just like did a search in my Word documents, Susan Loken. Sure enough, I had interviewed her for an article I'd written years before. But tell us about who Susan is and what kind of impact she's had on your journey.
Yeah, so she was running Bloom Train Become, and she ran a track group, and a lot of Black Men Run members went to that track group. And she led it, and just like seeing her inspiration and hearing her story was really like just so fascinating. I started later and just wasn't a runner growing up. And like, I was like, you know, I really connect with that. Just the community. That was the big part of that track group that she created. And like, I just really loved, and the support from the community, and just like seeing other people crush it, and like knowing like, oh, you can run more than 2 days in a row. Like, I didn't know that. And so, like there's a lot of things that like I learned from her, and just learn how to structure and just getting the support and the confidence. And like, she's like the most confident person I've ever met. And just that really rubs off, and the people around her definitely like flourish. So she's awesome.
When did you first reach out to a coach and start having a coach yourself?
Yeah.
In your mm-hmm. running career?
I feel like for so long I had that like lone wolf mentality. Because like I just want to do it myself, so I self-coached myself for like the longest time. Like I wanted to get under 3 hours for the marathon, and ended up getting 3:09, and was just like completely spent, burnt out. Thought about going to a coach. I was like, no, I'm just gonna do it. And that's when I learned, it was like, you know, you can't do it yourself. It's hard.
And how'd you pick that first coach?
So I was always doing the track group, so I had that connection already. So I was like, you know, can you work with me for this marathon? So did it for Mesa Marathon. So I worked with her for a cycle, and it was awesome. Or more than a cycle, because it was during the pandemic. So it was right 2020. That's when I started.
I want to pivot more into your coaching in the time we have left by kind of a segue to that. So you are a runner, mm-hmm. whether it feels weird or not.
By the end of this episode, we
I feel like I'm just a person who likes to run.
Yeah, whatever, you know, it's your running, it's your identity, you get to decide, not us. But so, you know, you recently completed your first 100 miler, so you love trails, you love those longer distances, so you're gaining experience, you're developing as an athlete, and that's like an awesome journey unto itself, right? I'm sure you have, you know, goals that you're chasing and experiences you want to have like as a runner, but that that experience, of course, feeds into your coaching. The more you do, the more experiences that you have to draw from as a coach. Do you see it that way? That like these things, like one hand washes the other?
No, 100%. Because that's kind of the coach I want to be, the runner I am. So I really preach any pace, any space, any person, like, and any distance, any surface. Like, I feel like there's such a divide in like fight versus like road, trail. Like, I do it all. Just did my first road 5K in like 3 years and it hurt so much, but like, it was so fun. But like, then working for a road marathon, then I'll probably go back to a trail 100 and I just want to do it all. Like, and it's fun. And that's why I'm a coach, just people that want to just dabble in it all and who maybe fear or like afraid of going like the next distance or breaking the next like thing they want to do.
And how was like getting started? I know you launched your website. It looks great. So tell us a bit about how like the business side of things, like you have your philosophy. It sounds like you have a great community. Like, how has getting started with the business side of things going?
Yeah, luckily Becky Taylor, like, she brought me on. So she reached out to me and we had a good talk, just seeing if I was interested in coaching and coming on to her business, Tailored Training. And I think she had it on for like going on maybe like 2 years and just wanted to grow and bring on another coach. And she wanted a coach that didn't look like her or think like her and just something different. And I had a great conversation. It was like an hour long conversation. And I was like, you know, I think I'd be a great coach, and worked on a certification and started coaching my first athlete who had been getting injured a lot and hadn't really put together like a consistent training program or plan. Had done a couple 5Ks and started working with her to do her first half marathon and had the best time ever and crushed it. It's been going for like about 2 years, been coaching for about that long. And she's talking about thinking about doing like her next marathon, and it's really exciting. Like, somebody who couldn't do a 5K like healthily and stay healthy or do like a training block athlete, and they're like enjoying it and just having so much fun. And it's really cool to see that and just be like there for that growth. We have a couple of athletes local who are doing like, one's doing a 50 miler coming up at Antelope Canyon, and one that's doing 5Ks, coaching my fiance Erica. That's been a lot of fun. Coached her two 50Ks, and it's been fun because like, she's been primarily road. So it's been fun, like getting her into like the trail ultras and road ultras. So that's been like a fun challenge, and it's been awesome seeing her. So working her way back from Tucson 50K, she did second place and crushed it. Yeah. So it's been good.
Did she have a coach before you, or are you her first coach?
Yeah. She had a coach before me, Derek Delante, awesome coach around here. And it's been fun kind of like working with his program and making tweaks. Then ultra has been building back from that. And it's been a tough year. She had a pretty big surgery. So working back from that has been tough, but she's back.
You mentioned a moment ago that you want to be the kind of coach that you are a runner. And what you meant by that is like all surfaces, all paces, all distances. But I think there's another way to interpret that. Well, I'll come at it this way. I had the tremendous privilege of witnessing your first 100 miler. I'm blanking on the name of it. What's it called?
Javelina 100.
Javelina 100 here in Arizona. So I scooted down there to, and it's such a spectator friendly ultra because it's like multiple loops. And I was just so impressed by your mental coping, you know, with that challenge. Cause like, I mean, it got really, really, really hard, you know, in the latter half. And the way you held it together was just really, really remarkable. And I thought, wow, you know, if he can help the runners he coaches, you know, get into that kind of headspace that he has as an athlete, like, he's going to be a hell of a coach. Is that sort of like, you know, your approach to, you know, the kind of the psychological dimension of running? Are you trying to like, sort of like, you know, sort of like clone yourself? Cause you should.
Definitely not. That's awesome. No, that's such a big piece of, like just having a good mental health headspace, especially with running. Like, my whole thought process going into Javelina 100 was just not to beat myself up. Like, it's hard. You're out there and like you got the heat because it's fully exposed. Like, you have no shade out in the desert.
Yep.
85 plus degrees. So it gets hot and like it's hard. And you just got to like give yourself grace and like patience. And that's the biggest thing with like life and training. Like, you're going to mess up. Like, things are going to get bad. But just learning from that and growing from that is just a step, and not being too hard on yourself, dwelling on like the past and just moving forward, like one step in front of the other. And that's what training is, staying consistent with it. That's a big piece I try to help out with and like program to my coaching. Just, you know, if we need to move that run, no problem. Like, if we need to skip the run, no problem. Like, we'll make it up. Like, look at the big picture, grand scheme of things, and really try to harp on that. And that's a huge part of my philosophy of coaching, because life is hard.
Is that also where you dig down mentally when things get really hard too? I know Matt kind of just asked this question, but I'm always interested. We interviewed Camille Heron, and she was just so happy. Like, I don't think she would hurt a fly. Like, and I was just wondering, when she really has to dig down, what does she do? How does she get angry? Or maybe she doesn't. Like, where does that last final click of the gear come in?
Yeah, like, I love Camille. Like, just how like she's always smiling and just having fun. Like, that's what I love to do. Like, having fun with the aid station volunteers and just thanking them and just being out there and like connecting with them. Like, that's what gets me going. And just the other people on the course too. Like, there's such good energy out there, and just connecting with the people and smiling and having fun. Like, it's a terrible situation and you're all out here like, what's going on? Like, we signed up for this. We should have you having fun. Why are you not having fun?
But, you know, when you look at that sort of like that overall mental component of running, it's really like there are kind of two pieces in there. One is what's, you know, categorized as like sports psychology, but that bleeds over into mental health. You know, like, there's no real separation between those two things. And, I joke about just what a mellow dude you are. And so I was surprised, you know, to learn and getting to know you that you dealt with anxiety when you were younger quite a bit, and you don't present as anxious now. Has running had a role in that sort of transformation? Because coaches feel two ways about this. Some are like very hands-off. It's like, I don't touch mental health. Like, me, I feel like it's all relevant. Like, I like a whole human approach, and I'm happy to go there with athletes. You know, you have to understand that you're not a psychologist and sort of stay in your lane. But do you enjoy, when you're working with athletes, working on their mental health as it relates to their athletics?
Yeah, like, my big piece is just like loving yourself and loving yourself as a runner, as a person. Like, that's what I really try to preach. And for myself too, like, giving yourself like grace, not being hard on yourself. And
I love being hard on myself. No.
Like, 80-20. Be hard on yourself 20% of the time. I mean, like, there's a time and spot for everything. Like, time for everything. Like, yeah, there's a time to go hard and be hard on yourself. Like, but yes, you got to recover quick. I love Ted Lasso. Like, that's my favorite show ever. Goldfish. On to the next thing.
It's my favorite show I've never watched.
I was just going to say, Matt, have you seen an episode yet?
I love the idea of it.
Fair enough.
I do feel like, I was going to say, like, a misconception of endurance athletes, this is just my personal hot take, is that they're all really, really intense, and they're out there like fighting some demons and things, and they're weird. And I always get to this point in the interview, the question I asked you, like, okay, like, where's that side of you? And it's usually never really there. And it's just, people are doing these things because they, one, love to do them. And that's like, that's it. Like, Camille was like, I loved running. I knew I was supposed to be a runner. You're saying the same thing. And it's just the love of the sport. And I was just going to get a little bit dark here as part of the question, but if you couldn't run, like you said, when you were in college, when you tore your ACL and you couldn't really be that mobile, and it's in the middle of nowhere and it's in the winter. And if that happened to you again today, what skills did you learn from that, and maybe from your running, that you would apply now?
Yeah. So it's a love of running, but it's also a love of adventure for me. And I've found that in so many different avenues, like through riding. So love of riding, adventuring, exploring the mind, and through other ways too. And that's one thing I've learned, how to adapt. That's like ultra running as T. Like, nothing goes perfect ever. Like, ever. So you just have to learn how to like make the best out of your situation and adapt to the situation and just really learn like what's my main goal and like what are you focused on. So that's what really helped me with running in life. Just like being able to break things down and just kind of like get to the essence of things.
Well, shoot, there's a person on this call who loves running and lost the ability to do it and is adapting every day. And it's, I mean, these things can happen. You know what I mean? It's really interesting from a philosophical perspective. It's like, you know, yeah, it's running, but what is it about running? You know, because if you can't do it, like then that helps you cope. And for me, running is like you're literally traveling when you run, like you're moving through space, but it's also an interior journey at the same time. So for me, like I'm trying to capture or continue that interior journey. It's just like, all right, without being able to move through space, how do I keep, you know, experiencing myself in new ways, challenging myself, changing, growing? Yeah, that's interesting. Neither here nor there. But so you are accepting new clients, Jared. Yes.
Yeah. Excited.
You've hung out your shingle. You're open for business. Mm-hmm. For someone who's listening to this interview and likes your whole vibe, it's like, yeah, I could use a coach. Jared might be the guy. What does that look like? What's step one?
Yeah. So I have a website, my name, jaredurban.com, and there's a contact form. You can just reach out and we can chat about it and see if it's the right fit for you. And I've got all the
super weird spelling of Jared, so you might want to just give us the letters there.
Oh, double R's. Yeah, J-A-R-R-E-D.
And so what does it look like? Let's say I reach out to you tomorrow and then you bring me on. Like what is the experience like to be coached by Jared Irvin?
Yeah, it's a lot of fun. So I usually set you up through either VDOT or Training Peaks. Those are the two platforms I use, depending on what you're feeling. And usually set first initial call. So that's like the big piece, the call and just getting to know you, getting to know each other and just like learn about background and learn about who you are as a person and really just figuring out your vibe. And then we'll just talk about goals and set goals. And if you want to do that, and that's kind of like my favorite piece, goal setting, just like looking at realistic goals and what makes sense, like not just with running where you're at, but like where you're at with life. So, cause I had a recent athlete just complete the New York Marathon, but he just had a newborn when we started working together. So that was a whole fun training. We had to get really creative. So just working through that and being able to adapt around life, that's a big piece. I try to work through that first call and try to figure out what's going on. And I'll just go from there. I'll look at your training and really try to like seamlessly, if you're working with like a previous person, I'll try to like, I don't like switching things up too much. So I just kind of like gradually fit in and you'll start seeing some difference within like the 4 or 5 weeks.
And what does that tweaking look like? But, like yeah. What's your spin that you feel like you usually put on the training aspect of things?
I'm a huge advocate for effort-based runs and time-based runs. So I coach mostly by RPE, rate of perceived exertion. So most of my runs will be 80%, 3 to 5. Then we'll have workouts depending what type of block we're in. So if we're doing like 5K intensity, we'll do some fun like 8 to 9 type intensities and we get fun and creative. And yeah, so it's usually time based, but with like marathons, I'll start giving some like pace goals and parameters with that as we get closer. But usually with like a new person, I'll just give you rate of exertion just to see where you're at, not put any pressure on running and kind of let you settle into paces.
So it hasn't come up that our first apprentice and coaches of color, Jessica Schneer, she's a full-time coach. She decided early on, yeah, I think I'm going to go all in for this thing. You have a full-time job with the Mesa, Arizona Police Department in community relations. You've graduated from the program, but you know, I'm not letting go of you. So I hesitate to call it mentoring, but I guess it is that just by virtue of the fact that I'm a lot older than you. And just like, you know, just trying to be helpful. Like I'm very kind of invested in and excited about your future. And so any role I can play to facilitate, even if it's just like being a sounding board every now and then. And so you were sort of like feeling the itch to go a little further into coaching, hence the website. And that's part of the reason for the timing of this interview. You want to share some thoughts about what the future looks like to you, like, you know, dreams, aspirations, the direction that you find yourself heading at this point?
Yeah, I definitely want to grow coaching. That's the step that I know I want to make. So that means getting more clients and more athletes. Because I feel like I'm in a place where I can comfortably work with the ones I have now and got my formula down. And like, it's been fun. And like, I feel like I got my mojo. Just growing that and just going with the flow. So that's step one. Then, you know, I'm not sure what the next one is. So that's kind of exciting. Like, it's just like a realm of possibilities. I know about the essence of like the things that I want. Like, I love working with the community. Like, I want to work with people. I want to be with people and I want to help grow communities and connect. And what place that is, what space that is, I don't know.
But you're very much drawn to service, right? You know, so I think that that's always going to be a big piece, right?
That's a big piece for me. That's just what I need.
Well, it's what the world needs too.
Service to others, service, yeah. Like, I'm just trying to make some kind of dent, whatever that looks like, just something, some kind of dent.
And are your athletes, when you have that initial call with them, can they be in North Carolina? Can they be in California? Or are you looking for more in-person clients?
So I have a good mix of in-person, and I have one in Ontario and Michigan. So it's all around. So it's fun. Like, they all have like a different flavor. And that's kind of the fun thing about like being very flexible and adaptive. Like, each situation looks different and like each athlete is different and tailored different. So each relationship is completely different, whether it's like online or not. And that's what I like about it. There's no like set structure.
Love it. Super, super deep closing question for you, Jared. If you had to create a one-liner, like a marketing slogan for your coaching business, what would it be?
That's a good one.
Really putting you on the spot with this one. I know.
I know, that's a zinger. Damn.
Yeah,
that's like a super mean closing question. I can buy you some time by singing if you like.
No, that's okay.
I don't want that.
Let's just go with any pace or any race, something like that.
Love. That's all good. Welcome.
Yeah.
All
got
welcome.
A double entendre in there.
Come as you are.
Well, thank you so much for meeting with us today. We'll include your website in the show notes. And if you guys want to reach out to Jared, please, please do that. As you heard, he's trying to grow his list of athletes.
Right on. Yeah. So you need to blog for us, Jared. That's one thing. You got a knack for writing.
All right. Thank you so much, Jared.
All right. Thank you for having me on.
Thanks for tuning in to this conversation with Jared. His passion for running, combined with his dedication to diversity and community, serves as an inspiration to all of us. Be sure to check out Jared's coaching website in the show notes and Coaches of Color Initiative as well. You can donate there or learn about our most recent apprentice, Sabrina. Thanks for listening, and we'll talk to you soon.